morning. My name is Joel Schnickloth. I'm with Colorado State University, the Water Institute, as well as Extension in Colorado State. And I'd like to introduce my two collaborators on this, Drs. David Nielsen and Francisco Calderon, with the USDA ARS based in Akron, Colorado, Northeast Colorado. So we're looking at forage residue harvesting and why residue harvesting, because in our area we have a large livestock concentration as well. They have been harvesting forages off and on, residue, especially since ethanol has taken off, because ethanol byproducts with corn stover has been a good mix of forages for backgrounding cattle. Also, the potential future. We've had this talk for over 10 years in the state of Colorado with entities, and they say, well, cellulosic ethanol will be the next ethanol. And we keep talking to them about what the potential effects are. They keep saying, well, it's just trash. Farmers want to get rid of it. No. But we want to show the detrimental or potential impacts of residue harvesting long-term over this whole type of system. One of the talks with producers is that why they like harvesting residues. If they want to go to a reduced till, no-till type system, they say, well, irrigated forages or irrigated corn production, I have too much residue to handle. It's a misconception that they see. So they typically will either till a little bit or they'll go in and harvest at least 50% or more of that residue off the hard field. One of the big concerns we always talk to them is when they do the economics, they say, remember, you lose nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and all these micronutrients, and it's about $50 per ton in nutrient value alone that you're harvesting off those fields. Long-term impacts, what's going to happen to soil carbon, soil organic matter, soil aggregate stability over time that we talk about in long-term productivity. The other aspect, we're in a semi-arid region. We're in an Ogallala aquifer system. We're in a declining water resource. The South Platte is questionable at times on how much water we have available. Residue does a lot of good things for us. Evaporative losses, covering up that soil surface. In our region, we do get snow. It's not nice and vertical. It's typically a horizontal snow. So capture of those of that snowfall withstanding residue can be a major impact. And also impacts on infiltration. As we make these changes with residue management, no-till tillage, what happens to our infiltration? Because leaving the water on the soil is important, but if it runs off, it's not very good for us. So we started this project in 2014 at Akron, Colorado. These plots had been conventional or continuous corn, but conventional tillage for the prior 6 years with the research we were doing there. So we started two tillage treatments, no-till and tillage with a disc, tandem disc system, which is typically common in some areas. It's not the most intensive that we see in the area, but it is probably the more minimum tillage. Residue, we either harvest the residue where we have virtually no residue left on the plots, or we remain in the field. So we've got four different types of treatments here. Fertility on all these with the phosphorus, the zinc, sulfur, we do up recommended rates on all plots. Nitrogen, we do a recommended, and we have subplots of plus and minus 50 pounds or 50 kilograms per hectare. So here's a nice picture that you can see looking at the field conditions at or near planting. With the tilled and residue, we're looking at a high conservation compliance, 50% residue cover. Even with a no-till where we take the residue off, we're still about 30% residue cover, but it's a fine residue. It will blow off relatively easily over the wintertime. And the tilled no residue looks like a conventional moldboard plow. There's nothing there left. Infiltration is one of the components I'm really looking at. We've been using the Cornell infiltrometer. It's a nice little tool. It has its hiccups. It has its quirks. It has its frustrations over the years. But we can do fall measurements. That's where we see the greatest impact on the soil infiltration. We've managed to have our irrigation at that point in time, so the soil surface is at minimum condition and slowest infiltration. So we can generate infiltration curves. We can also take three major measurements, total water infiltrated in 30 minutes, time to first runoff, and looking at steady state infiltration, which is the last 2 to 4 readings over 30 minutes. Some people say, why 30 minutes? Well, I'd have to refill that infiltrometer at the rates we're applying. But we developed nice curves here. And this is 2014, after 1 year of residue management and tillage. You can see both residue, where we leave the residue on, we have significantly higher early infiltration as compared to where we take the residue off. Whether it's no-till or tilled, it really doesn't matter what we're doing, but it has to have the residue. Within 300 seconds or 5 minutes, we're almost at steady state infiltration. We're very close at that point in time. Time to first runoff, we'll look at the year by year. 2014, it took about 250 seconds, 220 seconds, where we left the residue on before we start to see any runoff occur on, with this infiltrometer. Where we took the residue off, it took about 100 to 120 seconds. So we had a significant decline in time to first runoff when we took the residue off. Didn't matter what we did for tillage treatments. Again, in 2015, we saw the same type of scenario. 2016, I haven't quite figured out what happened here. We had significant drop in time to first runoff. Still trying to figure that out. No-till, and it didn't really matter which tillage treatment or residue management we were doing. Note the average, we see nice trends where we leave the residue, whether it's tilled, no-till, took about the same amount of time for runoff as compared to where we took the runoff or took the residue off. Total infiltration, year one, 3.5 centimeters in 30 minutes was about the, 30 minutes was the max infiltration rate on average. And again, highly residue dependent. Didn't matter if it was no-till, tilled. We saw the same infiltration. If we took the residue off, we were about 2 to 2.5 centimeters in that 30 minutes. 2015, slightly better infiltration rates, no matter what the tillage treatments were, but again, highly dependent upon when we left the residue on the surface or in the field as compared to when we harvested the residue. 2016, everything was much higher. It took a little bit of explanation or thought process on this. Typically, most of our precipitation comes in May, June, July, prior to complete canopy development. And typically in our area, we have intense rainstorms, or we have irrigation going on, which is an intense precipitation event. In 2016, we didn't start irrigating until mid-July because of the precipitation we had. And our precipitation events were very nice, slow, gentle rainstorms. Our highest precipitation was about 4 centimeters. Over 16 hours. So the highest precipitation event over any one of those hours was about a half a centimeter. So it was a very gentle rain. So the bulk densities, when I took bulk densities in the fall, we were running about 1.1 in the tillage treatments and about 1.4 in the no-till. So I think that had a lot of influence on the infiltrations through that. Steady state, and this is at what we would assume would happen after 30 minutes for a long period of time. Residue in the first year was the significant factor. Year two, in 2015, the no-till where we left the residue on and where we took the residue off significantly increased prior from the first year, but again, we're fairly similar to where we left the residue on but tilled it in. The no-till, no residue was the lowest of the three. And of course, you always make the assumption, wow, wait till I see 2016 data. We did have a big increase in infiltration in the no-till where we left the residue on, but all treatments were much higher. Again, I think it's due to the precipitation activity we had through the spring, much mellow soils where we tilled. It will be interesting to see if we get back into dry seasons and get some irrigation and compaction and disturbance of that soil surface, so what happens in the years to follow. But again, no-till where we left the residue on was significantly better over a three-year average with the steady-state infiltration. So anything past 30 minutes, if we had long, intense precipitation events, we would expect to have higher soil moisture contents after that. Well, in this year, when we were doing the infiltrometer, if you leave the rings in long enough and you pull them out, you can get a nice shear point and look at the macro pore structure underneath those. At about 5 centimeters is the deepest that we drive these rings in. And you see between the tilled and the no-till, there we go. You really can't tell much difference here, but you see one of the impacts with the tillage you notice the roots where they hit a plow pan are starting to hit a new plow pan, and they start to go horizontal versus vertical in the system. Looking at the no-till versus where we take the residue off or leave the residue, oh, that should say no residue right there, not residue, but look at the macropore structure where we have the no-till, leave the residue on during the entire season. In fact, you can see one of the little critters right here, nice little earthworm in here. I didn't put this in the presentation, but we did do agroecology samples. Dr. Steve Fonte from Colorado State did that, and they found significantly more earthworms in the no-till where we left the residue. All other treatments were about the same. We saw about 6 to 7 times more earthworm activity in the no-till with the residue compared to all other treatments. Seasonal leachate. We're in a water deficit region. We want to see what the residue factor is, especially with the no-till. What we typically see, we've seen here, early season is mid-June when I finally get the neutron tubes in to about the end of July when we start reproductive. Late is the entire reproductive stage to maturity. Don't touch. what we saw in 2015, about 2.5 to 3 centimeters difference in ET, measured ET through water balance with the no-till where we left the residue off. All other treatments were the same. You notice the late was significantly lower than early. When you have a hailstorm shortly after tassel emergence and you lose 95% of your leaf area, ET goes down significantly. In fact, the first person that drove by the plots called me up and says, "Boy, your corn really took a hit with that hail." I go, "What corn? I'm growing broomsticks." in year 2016, again, we see a significant decrease in ET component compared to where we left either tilled or we took the residue off. But we also saw, in 2016, I purposely deficit irrigated during the reproductive growth stage because I said, well, with all the rainfall, I'm not going to see anything really interesting. So I did that. But what we saw was that left residual water that we saved early was utilized later in the season during the reproductive, which is your most sensitive time period for water stress. The other three treatments, really no significant difference. Total ET for the year was about the same, of 50 centimeters for about middle of June through the end of September at maturity time. Now this is looking at the corn crop, and early September there was just a dramatic difference in the visual appearance of the corn. Here's tilled where we took the residue off, tilled where we took the residue off. You can see the differences in the plant canopy structure at that point in time. Some lags made potentially in there. The no-till where we left the residue off, if you look back prior to that, you can see that this is significantly more green than either the tilled plots. But here's the no-till, where we left the residue on. At that point in time, I was going like, oh boy, we're going to see big increases in yields. I'm going to be seeing that. But before we get to the yields, some of the other things we're doing is the enzymes. Dr. Francisco Calderon is handling these. And what you see, primarily the only significance we see, come on. Oh, there we go. Fine. There's these three significants here. We have two that are carbon, one that's a nitrogen, and where we have the tilled, where we leave the residue on, there's significantly higher enzyme activity in these three scenarios right here. Other ones, we didn't see any significant difference. Grain yield. So 2014, one of the things we had was a zinc deficiency in 2014, something I've never seen before on these plots. So we had significantly lower yields in the no-till where we left the residue. We adjusted yields for the hail damage. One of the things was when the hail hit, the no-till where we left the residue on was about one growth stage behind everything else. But when we did the adjustments, they all came out about the same. In 2016, we see the no-till where we left the residue on was slightly higher, not really statistically significant, but slightly higher economically. 3-year average is about even. Where we're going to see the economics play out is the cost of tillage reduction if we say no-till long-term. We hopefully will see some things happen long-term. This is planned to go on for at least another 10 years. So residues significantly impacted beginning soil moisture in 2015. We didn't see that as much in 2016 with the precipitation that we had. Infiltration parameters, total infiltration, steady state, significantly better when residue was not removed. Impact on irrigation system design, and I'm an irrigation specialist. Runoff, wetted diameter, operating pressure can all be impacted by that. Those infiltration parameters. We can get by with lower wetted diameter, lower operating pressures, lower operating costs, and we can significantly reduce runoff. Grain yields were suppressed with the no-till and residue in 2014 because of the zinc deficiency. The other two years, we really didn't see any differences in yields. Tillage residue management have not impacted soil properties of organic matter nutrient stratification. As what we saw with 40-some years, it took a lot of time. We haven't seen anything. We're taking samples 0 to about 3.5 centimeters for surface, and we're still not seeing any organic matter changes in that. Economics, and this is where the producers look at no-till significantly cuts the costs. If they can keep up with some fairly similar yields, economically they'll be better off long-term with the no-till. Income, similar to tillage management in years 2014 and 15, what we saw. 2016, we'll see significantly higher economics where we left the residue and no-till. With that, questions, I'd like to acknowledge Colorado Corn, and we have a new NIFA grant, Ogallala Water Cap, that we started this year as the primary funding sources for this.